Welcome to episode 293 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our study of the book of 1 John. First John 2 verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world. The Apostle John pleads with his readers. Yes, the world might seem alluring. Yes, many may be drawn in by the world. Yes, the world may offer instant gratification. But what the world offers is false, fake, fragile, and fleeting. The first incentive John gives is that if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. In other words, the reason you should not love the world is that you can't love the world and God at the same time. Love for the world pushes out love for God, and love for God pushes out love for the world. And then John points out three kinds of sins that often ensnare those who fall for the world: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every human being is born of the flesh. Desires that arise from the fact that we are earthbound, fleshly creatures are not sins in themselves. We desire food, water, shelter, sex, and comfort. God created us with those desires. However, we are born sinful, desiring to please ourselves, regardless of God's moral law. When fleshly desires rule us, taking priority over God's will, they cause us to violate God's righteousness. They become lusts. For example, hunger propels us to find food. Eating is good. Jesus ate and drank while he was on the earth, and we actually need to eat to survive. But when hunger becomes a lust for food, it could turn into gluttony, which is a sin. When natural sexual desires turn perverse, they might lead to adultery, fornication, and other sexually related sins. What about the lust of the eyes? Simply put, the lust of the eyes is the sinful desire to possess what we see or to have those things which have visual appeal. Coveting money, possessions, or other physical things is not from God, but from the world around us. John emphasizes that these physical things do not last. They will pass away. In contrast, the child of God is guaranteed eternity. One of the guidelines for abundant living puts it this way in Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Coveting can include a desire to have people, possessions, or status. Satan uses the lust of the eyes as one avenue of temptation. Part of the reason Eve listened to the serpent in the garden was that she looked at the forbidden fruit and saw that it was pleasing to the eye. Satan used a visual image to help entrap her. Satan tried a similar tactic on Jesus. One of his temptations in the wilderness was an attempt to make Jesus covet earthly power. Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He then promised to give them to Jesus for a price. Of course, Jesus did not succumb to the lust of the eyes, and Satan was defeated. We must follow Jesus' example and, in the power of the Holy Spirit, resist the lust of the eyes. The world is full of eye candy, glamour, and gaudiness. Materialism beckons with the promise of happiness and fulfillment. A media-saturated society bombards us with advertising campaigns that might as well say, "Covet this." But all that glitters is not gold. and the child of God knows that fame, fortune, and finery quickly fade. Our focus is not the newest product or latest fashion. Our goal is not to keep up with the Joneses or to surround ourselves with the trappings of glittering magnificence. Instead, our goal is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Our eyes are set on Jesus. Our view is to eternity. The pride of life can be defined as anything that is of the world, meaning anything that leads to arrogance, ostentation, pride in self, presumption, and boasting. John makes it clear that anything that produces the pride of life comes from a love of the world, and if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The first example of the temptation of the pride of life occurs in the Garden of Eden, where Eve was tempted by the serpent to disobey God and eat the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve perceived the fruit was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. She coveted the fruit in three ways. First, it was appealing to her appetite, lust of the flesh. The fruit was also pleasing or delightful to the eye, lust of the eyes. Finally, Eve somehow perceived that the fruit would make her wise, giving her a wisdom beyond her own. Part of Satan's lie was that eating the fruit would make her like God, knowing good and evil. Here is the essence of the pride of life. Anything that exalts us above our station and offers the illusion of godlike qualities, wherein we boast in arrogance and worldly wisdom. Eve wanted to be like God in her knowledge, not content to live in a perfect world under his perfect grace and care for her. Satan tried these same three temptations on Christ during his 40 days in the wilderness. He tempted Jesus with the lust of the flesh, bread for his hunger, with the lust of the eyes, all the kingdoms of the world with their splendor, and the pride of life, daring him to cast himself from the roof of the temple in order to prove that he was the Messiah by an ostentatious display of power that was not in the will of God or his plan for the redemption of mankind. But Jesus, though he was tempted in every way just as we are, resisted the devil and used the word of God to ensure victory over him. 1 John 2 verse 17 contrasts the lust of the flesh with its more desirable counterpart, pleasing God. The world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. In other words, if we follow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we cannot do the will of God and therefore will not inherit eternal life. Those who have been born again by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus will continually put to death the deeds of the flesh. We will not allow the lust of our flesh to control our lives. Rather, we will choose to consider ourselves crucified with Christ so that we might live for the glory of God. The Bible points to the passing nature of this world. Psalm 103 verses 15 to 16. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. So if everything is passing away, what is the point to life? The only way to find lasting satisfaction, meaning, and purpose is to come to the eternal God. The Amplified Bible offers us this version of 1 John 2 verse 17. The world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever. Father, we know that the devil works overtime to entice us to love the world. We ask for strength to resist the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Instead, give us the desire and the power to do your will. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.